The News in Numbers with Tanya Curry, exclusively on Chai FM.
Tanya Curry, an official good morning to you.
Good morning, Mayhem team. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. All right. So what were the big stories that we were, that South Africans were talking about on social media this week? Do I need to guess?
Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. So it wasn't the cricket, was it?
No, it definitely wasn't the cricket. State capture inquiry coming in at 67% of our top 10.
Wow.
There's nothing else to talk about.
There is absolutely nothing else. It's unbelievable. I tried to start more of a conversation earlier this week on News 24 about Zimbabwe, asking why we're not having these conversations, and that one didn't go anywhere either. I mean, we're talking.
Zimbabwe is there.
It is there.
But it's definitely secondary. I mean, state capture. I have another question about state capture. Okay, so this guy drops these videos and voice notes and all sorts of things. Where is the investigations? Why haven't the SASSA been raided? I don't get it. The deathly silence in studio says I'm not alone. Love that.
Yeah, it's actually just unbelievable.
Well, I mean, if you've got video footage of cash being in secret vaults, like, firstly, like, okay, you've got the videos, you've got evidence, go and see what's going on. But yesterday he told us about how there were charge sheets drawn up that were sent to him first.
What? Are you serious?
For his approval, yes.
I didn't see that.
What are you talking about? Of course.
So he was effectively running the NPA.
Effectively, they were running the entire country from what it sounds like. I think, you know, like between the Guptas and Gavin Watson, it seems like the president was, and we always assumed so, he was just a puppet. I mean, yesterday, Greasy told us how Gavin Watson, he had recordings of what Gavin Watson was saying about how he would tell the president to appoint someone new to the NPA and enter Shaun the Sheep. So it's been... the revelations are just astonishing. And the story, the level of the stories, I mean, if you gave it to a scriptwriter for a movie, they'd say, what a load of rubbish, get it out here. No one is going to believe it. And here we are sitting in the reality. Scary.
Absolutely unbelievable. Carry on.
According to Google, and Basasa are the top searches for the week.
Yeah, because so many of us had not heard of either of these until a few weeks ago. And all of a sudden, they are just, you feel like you're playing catch up, like you've missed a conversation that everybody else has been having. But actually, we haven't been having the Basasa greasy conversation at all.
No, we haven't. And you know, Howard, the other thing that made me furious was the tender... story that he unveiled where he basically spoke about the correctional services in this country and how there was a tender pitch and they received a walk around and a walk through of the premises and the tender specifications 3 months before the tender was released. It was approved to go to Basasa
right.
3 months before it even made the press to be released as a tender. And I've been sitting in a media monitoring environment for, okay, good 22 years, but within those 22 years, for the last 7 years or so, I've been filling in a tender a week at least. And now I think of all the time I wasted.
Because what a complete waste of time. What a complete waste.
I never once got through to one round, not one round. And I mean, our service and BEE score, et cetera, was always exemplary. And now I know why. It's because the tender was awarded before I even got the piece of paper. It's ridiculous.
So what that does is it totally unmotivates anybody because you know that you're going to, that all you are doing is tendering just so that they can show that they had three or four different people, getting involved in it. But it was always going to go to the people that they decided on anyway because money was changing hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, my goodness, the things he came out with yesterday, Jeeva, who's sitting in the PRC inquiry next door.
yeah.
He comes out and just drops the most enormous amounts of information about this person who we knew was dodgy. I mean, do you remember when we were looking for her? Like she wouldn't she was subpoenaed and they couldn't find her. That was a year or so
back.
I mean, Jiba's always been on the radar, but now we know exactly what the story was there. They used to call her, this is the code word they used for her, the snake. So, you know, like, he's just, I like the guy. I don't know, I know I shouldn't, but I really like him.
I think we all feel that way. There's something quite authentic about him, and I'm not really sure why. Real. There really shouldn't be. I'd love your thoughts. I'm chatting to Tanya Khoury. We're talking about the news in numbers. Remind me, what percentage? 60?
67%.
67% of our conversation this week on social media has been about state inquiry. What are your thoughts on Agrizi? Is he a lovable rogue? Do you respond well to him? Do you think that, are you filled with anger when you watch him? And for some reason, I'm getting the impression that people aren't.
I really like him. Like, I mean, the guy comes across as so authentic when he vomits, but it's not that. It's that he has a sense of humor about it. Like, yesterday he was naming all these perpetrators and they had code names. Snake, Snail.
Yeah.
One of the people was called the Snail, the other one was Jay. And the audience, the journalists in the room and the legal people in the room started giggling. I mean, this is the level we've got to where we actually like one of the biggest criminals, in our country today. And he certainly was. I mean, he makes no bones about it. He was.
Absolutely incredible. It's just beyond anything that we can relate to, and
can't make this stuff up, Howard. You can't make this
You genuinely up. Can't.
Literally, you can't.
Kim says, I sat like I was watching a series. I called it my state capture binge watch. It was like a series on Netflix. Such revelations that were just too good to be real. Zondo looked like he was punch drunk. I wish he would have said yo, yo, yo. Then I would have realized he was human.
You know how I look at Zondo and I think you poor man. Like, you can see him shifting in his seat when we get closer to the president.
Yeah. I think he's saying WTF in his head. That's what I think he's saying.
And you can see him stop and like, his brain's trying to process.
Yeah, because.
What Agrizi just said. He's like, couldn't have heard that right.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, just seriously to say this. Yeah, it is quite. So what is the, you know, obviously the way in which you look at it, there's an emotional response. What is South Africa's response to what's going on in the state capture inquiry?
Well, certainly the sentiment of state capture is minus 40% when you look at the sentiment overall. But when you look at the net sentiment, the state capture inquiry is sitting at minus 70%. And I think the reason why it's not sitting in the minus 90 percentile is because of the humor of South Africans. Because every time we are faced with disaster, we take to humor. Look, we're so special as a nation. And the memes are relentless. I mean, you've got, you know, we had this story with Babes Wama, and it was, Babes were my files. And then people go, no, it's not Babes were my files, it's Babes were my hard drives. And somebody was going, no, it's Babes were my servers, you know. So, so we went on. And people were peeping around corners in the memes going, is he done yet? Like, is it safe to come out? So it's been, it's probably the most negative story in South Africa. But because of South African humor, it managed to push up that sentiment percentile to minus 70. But Judge Zondo, I feel so sorry for him. I feel so sorry for him. I wonder if, and the advocates as well, Advocate Pretorius, I wonder if they've got bodyguards and security. I mean, they must have, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. And I think Bosasa got that contract.
I mean, last week, we had people walking in dressed as cops. And people feared for Agrizi's life. I mean, everybody was very relieved when he returned this week to say, well,
absolutely,
he made it to the
meeting. A part of me was waiting for the tweet to say that, that somebody wasn't happy with him.
Right, Howard, the more he talks, the safer he is.
Yes, because then it's out there, then they can't, then it's only revenge and not trying to silence him. And that's very, very different. And science says, more than the gathering of all the info, what is going to happen? We need to see consequences. Mm-hmm. And this is a theme that you are seeing over and over again. Everybody is feeling this, that this is okay. We'll go through this pain. We'll go through this horror as long as there's an outcome.
But like, what if they end up arresting half of South Africa? I mean, this is what's worrying me.
And again, we're going to have to, all of those contracts for the prisons, we're going to have to revisit because who's on the inside and who's on the outside. It just gets more and more confusing. Neil says, Howard, why go to the movies when we have the life thrillers happening daily in this country? And we genuinely do. Were there any other stories? Well, I mean, there must have been a few other stories that made the headlines.
Well, but I did struggle this morning. I'm not going to lie. Look, okay, Ramaphosa is on there. He's coming in at 16%. He's the second largest story. That's due to several things. He called for transparency and party funding. He wants everybody to declare where they got their money from, which is going to be an interesting story. Of course, the EFF have jumped in at Ramaphosa saying that, they've jumped in about the sonar, the upcoming sonar, and they're threatening to disrupt it, saying that Ramaphosa must fall. And then, of course, Ramaphosa is sitting at Davos at the moment trying to drum up investment. So those three sets of stories put him at 16%, the second largest story. The third largest is Davos. And now we're getting to tiny stories. I mean, if you look at the stats on Twitter, they are very tiny chunks of the pie. Davos comes in as the third largest story. And then another inquiry, the PIC inquiry. And I'm so sad that I haven't been able to watch it. I just don't have enough hours.
Well, you can't possibly watch everything.
Yes, exactly. I'm like one of the listeners who spoke to you earlier. I completely binge watch State Capture. I fall asleep with it in my ears. It is my nighttime viewing. But it seems that the PIC inquiry is just as interesting. I mean, that particular inquiry dovetailing with State Capture inquiry, as they spoke about Jiba and Morebi, those two are certainly not squeaky clean, that's for sure. And that particular inquiry has caused havoc also this week, but it comes in at number four. And a very small percentage of our overall conversation. And then only do we deal with Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. So that is sitting at number five. I don't even know what's happening there. The last thing I heard was that Mnangagwa was in Russia and he sent a Facebook post to the nation to say, don't worry, everything's going to be sorted out. But I think he forgot that his entire nation doesn't have internet. So I'm not sure what that was all about.
Yeah, no, he is, I believe he's back. But certainly it's a very, very concerning situation. There's not enough news coming out. We did follow the story that there were still arrests being made for people who disagreed with government. It is a very, very, very sad and concerning situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. The memorial service and funeral of Tipu Masinga certainly made an impact as well. That is our most positive story this week, as the accolades.
Well, hold on. Did you say a funeral is our most positive story of the week?
It is. There you go.
Well, there we go.
We're in a lot of trouble, guys. It's only January.
A funeral was the most popular story in South Africa this week. Well, certainly that's a bit worrying.
Yeah, that is a bit worrying. It's largely due to the beautiful messages coming out about
right,
the man.
No, I get that.
And people giving some condolences and that sort of thing. Eskom's back. What's going on with the price increase?
Well, that's still ongoing. And so I would imagine it's back with quite a negative sentiment.
Oh, completely. I mean, Eskom can never put a foot right. Well, they certainly can't in my world anyway. Mm-hmm. Eskom coming in only slightly better than Safe Capture Inquiry with -68.4% is there in their sentiment. And then the last girl, Swazirenika story that we spoke about earlier, that comes in at number eight. The Gillette ad is still a topic of conversation. Can't believe that's in its second week. That's number nine. And then enter land expropriation.
For goodness sake.
I'll get bored, guys. Okay, look, it's a very tiny wedge of the pie,
right.
But it is on the charts, and it is the story with one of the largest negative net sentiments. Worsen said capture inquiry minus 81%. Are we still having this conversation, really?
I think we certainly seem to be. Can you imagine if we try and go through a land expropriation conversation and process without the corruption issues being resolved? Who gets to hold all of the land? I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. We are chatting to Tanya Curry. Tanya, back you with us?
Yes, I am indeed.
Were there any, what were the big stories around the world this week? Were there?
Well, I mean, we can deal with the usual suspects, which is Trump. Yeah. Let's start there. Yeah. I mean, can I ask a question? Why is the dollar so strong? If our country's government was shut down for 34 days, I think it is now, we wouldn't have a rand left.
I know, but look how everybody is, I suppose the government is saving money. I don't know, actually. It's a fine
It doesn't
question.
Make sense to
no,
me. Like, I've
doesn't.
Got international bills to pay. Can the dollar drop now?
I hear it.
Another big story internationally that does have South African links is that Charlize Theron is dating Brad Pitt.
We were so excited here. I have to tell you, very, very, very excited. In fact, weren't we?
Yeah, because it means I have a chance as well.
We even gave her a round of applause. We really, really did. We just felt that that she deserved it.
Yeah,
she's definitely arrived.
She put the East Rand on the map.
Yeah, she's opened up Brad Pitt to South Africans. Mm. I mean,
although
the East Rand, I don't know, never mind.
Wow, stop it, Howard.
I got shouted at over an article last week in quite an aggressive way. Just because I never seem to know the difference between Boxburg, Benoni, East Rand, Germiston, Wadeville.
No, Howard. Yeah. Come on. I'm straight out of Benoni and born in Springs.
You see, you are a Benoni born in Springs. How's a person who lives west of Edenvale meant to understand that, Tanya? For me, anything over that highway, the minute you hit Edenvale, it's another world.
It is another world. Completely, I agree with you. That's why I got out of it.
So did Charlize Theron, and look what happened to her.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. There's hope for us all. There's hope for us all, guys. If you're sitting in Benoni, don't worry about it. We're going to be fine.
Well, listen, also the what's her name? The swimmer from, who now lives in Monte Carlo in Monaco.
Oh, Princess
Charlize. She is a prince. Mm. Exactly.
Well, it's true. She also came out of Benoni, didn't she?
So did Grace Mugabe.
Okay,
look. All right, fine. Maybe forget that. Forget that. Well, that as an example. But I'm saying there were a lot. You know, it's quite impressive. Actually, must have been something quite interesting in that water. Those are really the, but really nothing particularly exciting internationally.
No, they don't. There's an awful lot more. The US student story mocking the Native Americans is probably the biggest story across the world. Look, I don't do the international analysis. So people must forgive me, but I look at the stories that I think have made the rounds the most, and then I have a look at things that interest me. So sorry for that, but I do get to have a life. But in this particular story, I mean, did you watch this students against these Native Americans in their MAGA hats? What did you make of it, Howard?
So it was very interesting because that was a story that flipped completely on its head. And I don't know if you followed the whole development of it, but initially when it came out and I saw that video, I was mortified because it appeared as though these students with these Make America Great Again caps were taunting a Native American. And I think what it did, certainly for me as a South African, is it pulled up all sorts of shame, feelings of shame and embarrassment that a white, that these white kids were behaving like that. So that was my initial feeling. And then slowly, everybody started to actually reveal what this real story was about, and news outlets in America were actually apologizing in some way and explaining, no, whoa, this is a completely different story. These students were there. Whether you agree with what they stand for or not is actually not relevant because they have an absolute right to believe in what they want to believe in, especially because it's a good portion of America believe in what they do. And they were being taunted, initially not by this Native American, but by this a group called, I think, the Black Hebrews. It's a very strange thing, and I can't really get much information. They were being taunted and really, really made being intimidated. And then this guy, who's a known activist, also got involved, and he didn't need to. And he walked forward, and this kid who we thought was smiling was actually quite afraid and quite intimidated by it. And he wrote an explanation, and he said he just was smiling. Not everybody, of course, was behaving well on their side either. But it certainly wasn't the story that we were led to believe that it was. So now it sort of ended for me with feeling all sorts of conflict. What's your thoughts?
You know, Howard, I don't know if you're right there, hey? Like, this is what I've seen on social media.
Tell me.
This kid put out a press release to exonerate himself from the situation. Social media tore that press release apart, saying that it was contrived and definitely not written by him. I think they turned up there because they were anti-abortion. That was the original reason why they ended up there. Now, when I watched that guy's face and the way he was smiling, it seemed to me that he was trying to impress his mates. And I was very quickly being given some sort of affirmation that that was true when another clip featured of one of his friends saying, it's only rape, it's not rape if you enjoy it. And that particular clip put a completely different spin on what social media was saying, because here you're at an anti-abortion rally and here you're saying that rape is okay, and then there's this fracas between you and the activist, and then the story emerged about, I think they were called the Black Muslims. Black Hebrews. That's a whole different.
No, but it's not. I don't think they're Muslim. I don't think they're Hebrew.
I don't think they're anything.
I think it's just a name.
So I think it was more of a whole bunch of people that didn't agree on anything,
screaming,
sitting in the same place. Yeah. And you had this young child who's obviously immature, sitting there and trying to get involved in what definitely was a big fight. So I can't make out what the story was about, but I tell you that America is incensed by it. Absolutely incensed from both sides. Some defending and some against. It's a crazy story, and a little bit of a silly one, I think. I mean, like, okay, the people at a rally got a bit heated. Okay, come to our country. We'll tell you about news.
And nobody behaved particularly well.
So it was
a crazy, crazy story. A couple of things. Steve G says, if a couple from the East Rand gets divorced, are they still brother and sister?
Steve,
you don't know the hate mail I'm getting around this. Wow. Gosh. I think this 16-year-old kid was actually innocent. Dennis Prager was discussing that. And let's just see, Howard, you're correct. I also saw the report. The Black Hebrews claim they are true Jews. Oh, and we are imposters. All right. Well, there you have it. So we can pack up and go home now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get a cheeseburger then. that is absolutely ridiculous.
There's a few more scandala in the media internationally. Cristiano Ronaldo accepted an 18 million euro fine instead of going to jail for tax fraud in Spain. So finally that case has been resolved, and of course he didn't go to jail. Nobody thought he would. And then Chris Brown was detained in Paris after a rape claim. I don't know if you followed that story. That happened this week. And then we had the Oscars being announced, the nominations for the Oscars. So those particular stories, to me, are probably the biggest on the international charts. Oh, and then Zimbabwe sold out to Russia. They just sold the country. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because we've been talking on our military Mondays, even before the story broke, about how Mnangagwa is getting much closer to Russia and they're going to be building military bases, etc.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You see, like, so how much of Africa is actually still owned by Africans? And we talk about colonization, but what on earth is happening here? What do you call this thing?
Oh, no, absolutely. This is a reverse takeover, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Something for sure. That is, and that's it. That's all I've got for you this week.
All
and
right.
Yeah, the longest week in the world, but all I have to talk about is state capture.
Isn't that incredible? Time is 7:47. Tony Khoury, thank you. As always, you have a fantastic weekend. Let's wrap up the sports question, because it's a very, very interesting one. And of course, we want to make sure that you know what that answer is.